is the day which the Lord has made. We will.
That sounded pretty good. Let's do it again just for fun. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. I love that. I love that. Well, last week we celebrated Palm Sunday. For those of you that get a little antsy at me getting to the scripture, you can turn in your Bible now to John 19. And when I get there, I'll let you know we're there. But it'll take us a few minutes to get there. Last week we celebrated Palm Sunday. It was the resurrection. It was Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And remember, all the people were saying, you know, I was talking to my good friend over there, Mike, at work. And he was asking about Jesus. And I thought, man, I'm glad I practiced this story, Mike, because here I am telling it today. And I thought, oh, yeah, it's fresh in my mind. And I get to repeat it. So sorry, Mike. But it was Jesus' triumphant entry. And all the people were waving their palm branches. And they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And they're throwing those down as Jesus rides in humbly on the donkey. And they're throwing their coats down. A humble way for him to enter. And there's all this great celebration going on. In 2 Corinthians last week, we also talked about it saying, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Not he might be, he could be if he chooses to. No, he is. When you accept Christ, you are a new creation. Old things have, again, not might, they might pass away. Old things have passed away. It says, behold all things. Not behold most things, some things, a few things. Behold, all things have become new. And then further on it said, now then we are ambassadors of Christ. And I wanted to talk about that last week and this week to remind us that he has those promises that he's given us. His word tells us if we are in him, we are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And we prayed last week that the scales fall off our eyes. And I prayed today, and I'll probably pray again by the time we're done, that the scales continue to fall off our eyes. And allow us to see. But the biggest thing is we are now ambassadors for him. We want to make ourselves ambassadors for whatever we think is important. But it says we already are. Those are choices we make. But it says we are ambassadors for Christ. So we continue just to pray that the scales fall off. Like I said, all things have become new and old things have passed away. By the way, those old things, leave them in the past. I told you every now and then we walk around and we want to pick up that old thing. Why? Remember, because it's comfortable. We're familiar with it. We may not like it, but it's familiar and it's comfortable. Leave them in the past. Look forward to the new things. Press on to the new things. Now, Jesus came in. And in the last week, he faced all kinds of struggles. His big triumphant entry, he's riding in. Could you imagine a parade just for you and your work? But then after that, he goes in the temple and they're doing all kinds of bad things. And he flips the tables over and he drives them out. And then the betrayal and denial that followed in this past week. Judas, one of his 12, agrees to betray him. For a little bit of money. Peter denies him. Jesus told him, hey, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. I think last week I said before the rooster crows three times. Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. He's like, no, not me. One of the others, maybe. Jesus said, no, it's going to be you. He said, no, not me. And he did. And the rooster crowed and he denied him. Then Jesus goes into the garden. And he knows what's going to happen. He's just celebrated the Last Supper. He sat down with them. He knows his betrayer is sitting amongst him at the table. And then he goes to the garden to pray. And he tells the Father, hey, if this cup can pass, let it. In Ground Zero, we're studying the book of Daniel. And last week, Josh said, in the book of Daniel, sometimes God has to have you go through the fiery furnace. He wants us to go through that and come out on the other end. I said, my goodness, look at Jesus. He asked God, God, if there's a way I don't have to do this with these things through my hands and feet, can you let that pass? However, not my will, God, but your will. And when he tells his disciples, he goes off with a couple of them, went off with a group, and then he went off privately with a few of them. And he said, hey, stay awake, stay alert. The time is coming near. And he came back, and what were they doing? They were sleeping. He's upset and said, come on. Can you not stay awake and pray with me? He goes away for a second time. He comes back, said, again, you guys are asleep? And he did what? He went away a third time. The disciples fell asleep on him three times. Peter denied him three times. Judas betrayed him. And he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. Man, I want to hear, but man, this stuff, our affliction called flesh, gets in the way of me doing what the Spirit wants me to do. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I think about the story of the young boy that's sick, and he calls Jesus to help his son. And he went up and said, do you believe? He said, yes, I believe, but what? Help my unbelief. Today, that's my prayer as well. God, we believe in the resurrection of Christ. But please, help my unbelief. Where I struggle to believe that or understand it, help my unbelief. So a gang comes up to Jesus in the dark. Judas walks up and says, hello. Gives him a little kiss. And they said, oh, he's the one. And they arrest him. Jesus told them, do what you have to do. They arrested Jesus. They took him away. And he said, why do you come to me at night? I've been out there in the daytime preaching and teaching. And you never once came to me. But now you come to me at night with clubs and spears. They arrested Jesus. They mocked him. They beat him. They blindfolded him and beat him. And then said, prophesy to us. Tell us which one of us just hit you. Remember, we've talked about that many times. Jesus is not a magic genie. Jesus, if you're real, give me $1,000 right here. I knew you weren't real. Oh, come on. That's a magic trick. Jesus isn't magic. He's not to be used for that. He says, pray in my will, and it will be done. He gives us the things to pray about. Now Jesus is turned over to Pilate. Pilate said to the chief priests in the crowd, he says, I find no fault in this man. He asked Jesus questions, and Jesus said, hey, it is as you say it is. Other times he didn't answer. And Pilate said, I don't find any fault in this guy. That went over well with all the religious leaders of the time. They're upset at this, and he says, oh, he's a Galilean. I tell you what, Herod's in charge of those folks. What does he do? He passes them on to Herod, and the same thing. Said, Herod, this is your jurisdiction. You handle him. He's from Galilee. King Herod does what? He volleys them back to Pilate. And Pilate again states, I find no fault in this man. Now, interestingly enough, it says Pilate and Herod after that became friends. Found some common ground. I guess no one wanted to take care of Jesus. And he says, again, I find no fault with this man. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to chastise Jesus in front of everybody. I'm going to give him a good what for. And then I'll let him go. And the crowd's upset. That didn't go over well. So John chapter 19, verse 17 is where we'll start. And the crowd right before that going into it, they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. And Pilate said, shall I crucify your king? And they responded back, said, we have no king but Caesar. Then he delivered Jesus to them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Now John chapter 19 verse 17 goes on and says, and he bearing his cross, meaning he had to pick this thing up, went out to a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side of Jesus, with Jesus being in the center. And Pilate wrote on a title and put it on the cross, and it said, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, and hung above his cross is a name and a title. Then many of the Jews read the title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of Jews. But he said, I am the King of Jews. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. It's already done. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments. They made four parts to each soldier, so each one could have a part. His tunic was without a seam and was woven from top in one piece. Therefore, they drew lots to see who would get that. Because the scripture said, they divided my garments among them, and my clothing they cast lots. Therefore, the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home to watch out. Hey, you can come up here and preach with me anytime. We'll have a good time. Verse 28 says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine. They put it on hyssop and put it to his mouth. And Jesus, when he had received the sour wine, he responded back, bowing his head and giving up his spirit, and said, it is finished. Now, through the different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's different variations of the story, all telling the same thing, but having different details. So if you would, go to Luke chapter 23, verse 32. We'll read a couple scriptures there, or a couple verses there. And it talks about the two criminals on both sides. And this is important because this goes to our faith. And it said, there were also two others, criminals, led with him and put to death. Again, we're in Luke chapter 23, verse 33 now. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and one on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Why? For they know not what they do. Jesus, being crucified, still had mercy on people. He asked his Father to forgive them. That's hard to do sometimes when you're upset, when you're being challenged, falsely accused, unjustly sentenced. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And again, they divided his garments. The soldiers mocked him. There's the inscription above the cross. Verse 39 says, and one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him. And they said, if you are the Christ, save yourself. But isn't it just like them to say, save yourself? Oh, and save us as well. Mocking Jesus still on the cross. Save yourself if you are the Christ. Oh, but add us to the group. Save us as well. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? For we indeed are getting our just punishment. We receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And then Jesus said, Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Wow. A believer in his final moments of life. He said, Lord, remember me. He didn't say us, meaning the other criminal. He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He believed. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, I've said it before. I know for some Christians this is very frustrating. My gosh, there's these horrible people that make this deathbed call out to Jesus. So be it. Kind of like Jesus said when he was questioned, don't worry about them. I'll take care of them. Yeah, but this guy was a thief. He's minutes away from death, hanging on the cross. And that's when he chose to believe. Better then than not at all, right? Better then than not at all. Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. No better thing to hear than Jesus saying that to you. And it says, now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. And then the whole crowd who came together to see the sight, seeing what had been done, they beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee, they stood at a distance, watching and witnessing these things. As we're not done, flip over to Matthew chapter 28 now. Because this is what we celebrate. These were horrible events that took place after this triumphant entry. And I'm just thinking, man, I remember a big parade. 4th of July has always been a big parade for our family. I remember a handful of years back coming back from the 4th of July parade up in Edmond down I-35. And I saw a pretty horrific wreck in front of me. And people were ejected from the vehicle. And I thought, I'm no medical person. What can I do? And I called my twin brother who's in the medical field. And I said, man, where are you? I know you're behind me. There's this bad accident. How soon will you be here? He said, I'm about 2 minutes behind. He got there and he knew what to do. But you know what I did? I gathered those that were okay and around there. And we prayed. Standing on the side of I-35, I'm sure people are going, what are they doing over there in that big circle? Man, we were praying. Young lady was pretty torn up. And lo and behold, we went to do the food bank like we like to do each quarter. By the way, that's coming up on the 21st. What is that? This Thursday, 6:30 to 8:30, going to the food bank. And afterwards, what do we like to do? Go eat pizza. So we went and ate pizza at Mazzio's down there on 240. And I saw a young lady working there, and she had a pretty bad scar on her arm, pretty deep, pretty long, pretty bad. I said, hey, where did you go to school? And she told me. And I said, were you a cheerleader there? She said, yeah, I was. How do you know? I said, you were in a bad car accident after the 4th of July parade, weren't you? She said, yes, I was. How do you know? I said, well, I was there praying over you. She couldn't believe it, but I recognized her from her scars. And I think, man, you go to have this great celebration at a parade, and then you go through this next few days, weeks, hours, minutes. And Jesus went through the next several days, facing a lot of pain and suffering. And I'm thinking, man, would we recognize him by his scars? I mean, they tore into him. One version says Pilate had him beaten so badly, he was hoping they'd say, never mind, that's good enough. You have punished him enough. do no more. So Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb." You see, a guy had come and he said, "May I take him and bury him? I've got some money, let me do that." And they placed him in a tomb and they rolled a stone across there. And being afraid, they said, "Oh, hang on, we better seal that thing. But not just seal it, let's put some guards outside it. Because I remember hearing him say that in 3 days I will rise. And I'm afraid some of his little buddies are going to come. And they're going to take the body and say, oh, look what happened. He was rose from the dead." No, they stole his body. So they were afraid of that. So they sealed that tomb and put guards outside there. And it says, "They came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone." Could you imagine? I'm just going to go see Jesus. A great earthquake. And an angel of the Lord descends from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. Well, guess who's still standing outside the tomb? The guards. The guards shook for fear of him, and they became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. But he is not here, for he is risen." Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. He is not here. He is risen. And he said, "Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him." Again, not "you might." If you look hard enough, it just says, "In there you will see him. Behold, I have told you so." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Anyone ever experienced that combination, fear and great joy? That's a tough combination. But they ran to bring his disciples the word that they had heard. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet, and they worshiped him. And Jesus told them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now, while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest all things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them his disciples came at night, and they stole him away while we sleep. And if it comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Now, after Judas had betrayed Jesus, he threw the money back, didn't want it anymore. They gave him money to betray him. And then he went out and he hung himself. So now it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some still doubted. Now remember Thomas, he said, "Wait, I haven't seen him. Not that I don't believe you, my brothers, but I got to see the hole in his hand." So Jesus met him and said, "Here, go ahead, Thomas. Put your finger right there." But some had doubted, it says. Jesus came and he spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Today we celebrate a Christ who not only died for us and died for our sins, but in his resurrection, we celebrate that as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read about that, or we sang about that earlier. It says, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Here we are today. Here we are today. I'm going to finish with this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, I have the same message, in other words. Be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When we apply ourselves to God, He's going to reward us. Now, I'm here to tell you, just because you give your life to Christ, I've said it over and over and over again, that doesn't mean our life is without issues. But it means that we have a guy that went to the cross for our sins. He is just to forgive us. What did he do to the thief on the cross? Okay. Tonight you're going to be with me in paradise. What did he do as he hung on the cross? Father, forgive them. Why? Because they don't know what they're doing. I said a couple weeks ago, the righteous man will fall 7 times, and he will get up 7 times. We have to be sure we're extending that hand as well. Band's going to come up here. We're going to close with a song, and I'm going to finish with this. I don't want us leaving unchanged today. I don't want us leaving today unfazed or unchallenged. And I was listening on my way to work this morning to K-Love. I love listening to that. Christian songs. Of course, they're about resurrection. And Chris Tomlin's song, Resurrection Power, came up. And we get to celebrate in the victory of our Savior's resurrection. And in the song, it says, now I have resurrection power living on the inside. And I thought, I love that. I don't get to just know about it up here, but I get it on the inside. I have it on the inside. Jesus, you have given us freedom, no longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom. Today, that's my prayer for you as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We get to celebrate that resurrection in our own life. We find freedom from our darkness. We find freedom in the chains that hold us down. We find light in His presence. Lord, today I pray we are no longer bound by sin. We're no longer stuck in the darkness. I pray old things have passed away and all things have become new. Lord, I continue to pray that scales continue to fall off our eyes. Stony portions of our heart become soft and smooth. That we have resurrection power living on the inside. Lord, today as we prepare to gather around in a meal, Lord, I ask you to bless the food in the hands that prepared the food. Lord, I ask you to bless the food to the nourishment of our bodies and the fellowship to nourish our souls. I pray today that we know and understand where we are. Father, today we simply wait. Just like the disciples did when they went to Galilee, we wait. Father, don't let us leave this place unchanged today. Let us find victory in your resurrection power today. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you.